This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we will finish inshaAllah, or we will attempt to finish, the last of Allah's beautiful names mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu al-malik al-quddus. And we spoke about so many of these names. The name or names we will attempt to discuss, number one, is Al-Jabbar. Since we were young, we always associated Al-Jabbar with superheroes. So a superman is Al-Batal Al-Jabbar. Super, so strong, so powerful. Now, when Jabbar is used with humans in Islamic terms, this is discrediting that human. And an insult to that human, because it is not praising someone to say that he's a jabbar. We translate it into a tyrant, and no one loves to be called as a tyrant. Why would anyone control other humans who are like him, or empower them, or not empower them, have power over them and humiliate them? This is not something that is praised by Islam, for the humans to have in them. When it is used with Allah, this is a attribute of perfection, because only Allah Azza wa Jal can be called with this name truthfully, Al-Jabbar, and it would be praising him, Azza wa Jal. What does it mean? Al-Imam al-Sa'di, may Allah have mercy on his soul, says, Al-Jabbar, the prevailing, the compeller, is with different meanings. It refers to the highest of all heights. So there's nothing higher than Allah Azza wa Jal. And he is the subduer. All them tyrants, all them strong and powerful people, he subdues them, Azza wa Jal, with his power. And he's at the same time, like Imam Sa'di says, the kind who mends broken hearts, who avenges the weak and the oppressed, and who is a shelter to whomever seeks shelter in him. Ibn Uthaymeen says, Al-Jabbar has three meanings. Might of power. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the invincible. He is the one who defeats all those tyrants, all those who claim to be super in power. And he defeats them and subdues them with his majesty, with his greatness. Every person who's powerful is under Allah's control and under Allah's might, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the might of power. The second meaning is the might of mercy. And this is when we talk about broken bones. The cast we put on a broken bone, we call it jabira. Jabbar, jabira. So Allah Azza wa Jal mends the broken hearts. Allah fixes the weakness of those who are weak. And this is why between prostrations, the Prophet used to say, Allahumma ighfir li warhamni wa'afini wajburni. This fixes what needs to be fixed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces people's distress and depression with tranquility and comfort whenever they are patient and whenever they seek his help. The third meaning is the might of height and elevation. So as we've stated before, Allah is above everything. And Allah is above everyone. And nothing is above Him, Azza wa Jal. And though He is above everything, He's so close to His servants. With His hearing, with His seeing, with His ability to reach them and to do whatever He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, though He is over the heights, subhanahu azza wa jal. Al-Jabbar, a beautiful name of Allah azza wa jal. Now, it deals with power, with might. So the following name, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. This has different translations. The one supreme in glory, the justly and rightfully proud, the one who is alone truly high and mighty, exalted in glory above everything. In Arabic, kibr is disliked and prohibited for humans. It translates to arrogance. And arrogance is one of the reasons for people to enter hell. It is something that is prohibited. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever has an ant's weight of arrogance in his heart will not enter Jannah. And he also explained that arrogance is to reject the truth and resent and look down at people. So when it comes from a human being, it is unaccepted. And it is a characteristic of something that would make a person a lesser of a believer and one of the inhabitants of hellfire. Why? Because kibr is also related to size. So al-mutakabbir and al-kabir, they're related, but we will not talk about Allah's beautiful name al-kabir here. But it is related to size, and this is why those who are arrogant in this life, on the day of judgment, they will be resurrected in hell in the shape of men, but in the size of ants, and people would step on them. Why? Because this defies how they used to be on earth, boasting of themselves, thinking so big of themselves with this arrogance. With humans, it's totally unacceptable. But when it is with Allah Azza wa Jal, it's an attribute of praising, of majesty, of greatness. Only the pride, the one with the pride and honor, can be described with it. Imam al-Sa'di again says, Allah is described with all attributes of glory, of pride and honor, of greatness, of majesty. He's bigger than everything. He's greater than everything. He is above everything. Only to Him His servants have in their hearts feelings of submissiveness, of glorifying and praising. Their hearts are filled with praising Him to be Al-Mutakabbir. And what does Al-Mutakabbir basically means? That He is greater than inflicting harm or injustice to His servants. Allah Azza wa Jal is fair and just. He could never wrongdo others or do them injustice, because this goes against Him being as Al-Mutakabbir. And it's also, He's greater than anything that you may think of, because there is nothing unto Him. Nothing is similar to Him. And everything else beside Him is negligible and not worthy of looking at beside His greatness and majesty. We move on to the last three names of Allah Azza wa Jal in this great surah, Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah says, Huwa Allahul Khaliq, البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. Now translators translated it to what they know. So Sahih International says he's Allah, the creator, the producer, the fashioner. To him belongs the best names. Now, what are these names? We have Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari' and Al-Musawwir. And if we add to the first one, Al-Khaliq, another name which is Al-Khallaq, because they're similar in meaning, then that would do a lot of good. Now the question is, why did Allah combine these three names together? Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', Al-Musawwir. Well, let us first talk about Al-Khaliq. Now, everybody knows that Khaliq means the creator. But when it is combined with Al-Bari', which also means the creator, and Al-Musawwir, the one who gives images, which is a part of creation, you know that there is a slight difference between the meanings. So Al-Khattabi says that Al-Khaliq means the creative creator who creates over something that had no prior example. Allah says, is there any creator other than Allah in Surah Fatir? No. The answer is, the question is rhetorical. No, there isn't. So Khaliq has a meaning. Khallaq means that the one who frequently goes on and on to create. And if you look at Allah's beautiful creations, in one single moment, billions of creatures are created. Because Inna Rabbaka Huwa Al-Khallaqul Alim, indeed your Lord, He's the knowing creator. So when we talk about Khaliq and Khallaq, they are similar in meaning. Khallaq means frequently, more than Al-Khaliq. And this is known in Arabic, Siyagh Al-Mubalagha. It's a form of more superlative than usual. Now, we have Khaliq, we have Bari, we have Musawwir. What is the difference? So scholars say that Al-Khallaq and Al-Khaliq are both attributes no one in any nation would argue about. What does that mean? Let's go to the Hindus. Let's go to the Buddhists. Let's go to any denomination, any religion. Nobody argues that Allah is the creator of the universe, of the humans, of the jinn, of everything we see. Because there is no challenger. Not even Pharaoh came and said, I create, because he knows that he cannot create a thing. There is no one in this universe who claims that he creates, in the sense that we will speak in a moment, inshallah. So believers and disbelievers all acknowledge that Allah is the creator. And this is what every single person should come back to his senses. If only Allah is the creator of this heavens and the earth, shouldn't he be only the only one to be worshipped? Why are they worshipping other gods? Why are they worshipping planets and stars, rocks and trees, and not worshipping the Almighty? Because they have something wrong in their heads. And this is why everybody has to contemplate on this fact. And this is an eternal and universal fact that no one disagrees with. If you were to ask them, Allah says in Surah Az-Zumar 38, and if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say Allah. And this is addressing the idol worshippers. So everybody knows that Allah is the creator. But when we come to Al-Bari, What does al-bari mean? Al-bari means to create something from nothing. So to bring something into existence after it was nothing. And what is the difference between creating, as in al-khaliq, al-khalq, and al-bari or al-bar? They seem similar. Scholars looked at the sequence, al-khaliq, al-bari, al-musawwar, and said, okay, when we read the rest of the Quran verses and we understand and compare, we find that al-khaliq means to preordain. It refers to at-taqdeer, to preordain. Allah Azza wa Jal preordains something. So in our terminology, it's to plan. It is to design. And not everyone who plans or designs is capable of executing. So here comes the name Al-Bari, where Allah Azza wa Jal's name Al-Bari comes in effect when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates from vacuum, from nothing, something into existence. And this bringing something into existence is called Al-Bar. So preordaining and designing and deciding, this is khalq. And after this came into existence, we come to al-musawwir, the one who gives the form, the one who chooses what form a person looks like, an animal looks like, a bird, a fish, an insect. All these beautiful colors and shapes and forms and structures. This is under the name Al-Musawwir, which no one can give except Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is how we understand the sequence of Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. The one who preordains, the one who decides, the one who designs. And then the execution comes with Al-Bari. So Allah creates from nothing into something that is existing. And no one can do this. No one can create from vacuum something. We consider ourselves to be civilized and sophisticated. We can make a car from nothing. No, you need raw materials and you can't produce raw materials. It is Allah who produced the raw materials. And you need the knowledge and you need the tools and all of these, Allah has given us the knowledge to assemble and to make. But originally, the one who preordained it and the one who created it from scratch, from nothing, is Allah Azza wa Jal. And giving the shape, في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك, in any form Allah Azza wa Jal would put you in. This is only in Allah's hands. And this is why creating and mimicking and trying to imitate Allah's creation regarding living creatures is one of the major sins. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the most severely punished people on the Day of Judgment are al-musawwirun, those who draw, depict, those who make sculptures imitating Allah's creation. You go to the Mona Lisa, oh, what a beautiful drawing. Da Vinci did a great job, and you look at it thinking that this is a piece of art. This is something that those who did it and endorsed it and promoted it would be punished severely on the Day of Judgment. Those who create something like Allah's creation, whether it's a human or a living creature such as an animal, and a bird, a fish, or whatever, all of these are totally prohibited. To draw something that has no life in it, such as trees and plants, it does not have soul in it. It's a living creature, but it doesn't have a soul like animals and humans. To draw mountains and landscape and heavens and earths and oceans, all of this is totally permissible and allowed in Islam. If we are capable of understanding these beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, we tend to appreciate whenever we see humans differ in their shape, in their form, in their color, in their size, and know and acknowledge that only Allah could create them. And you could do the same with the different varieties of animals, of fish, of birds, of insects. When you look at one of the documentaries on National Geographic, for example, you'll be amazed by the beauty of Allah's creation and the variety. No one else can claim that He created them. No one else in this whole universe could come and say, yes, these white whales, I've created them. These small insects, I provide for them. Only Allah, the Almighty, does this. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I'm going to talk about the book Interactions of the Greatest Leader. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us through his guidance and example that Islam is complete submission to the will of Allah. For one who submits, a mere declaration or display of belief will not be taken for success, but his or her heart and soul will certainly be put to test. Allah tested the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam severely in order that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes an example for his companions to follow. Similarly, he tests the believer to see whether he lives a righteous life in accordance with the instructions and commands set by Allah, or lives according to what his desires dictate. Whether the faith he displays is firmly rooted in his heart, or is it merely on the surface, he will be tested to see whether he will continue to have faith and love of Allah when in a calamity, as he does when in comfort, whether he will continue to remember and worship him if given bounties and comforts of life, as he does when he lives a modest life. Allah will undoubtedly test him to see if his faith, trust and love of him is unconditional, or is it conditioned upon good health and a comfortable life free from stress and anxiety. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us through his own example that for a righteous Muslim, this life is a testing ground where he will continue to be tested until he meets Allah. For him, tests will be conducted on earth while he lives, and not after he dies. He knows that as soon as death arrives and he steps into the next world, his tests are over. There, he only receives the result of his tests and enjoys the fruits of the deeds that he committed during a short span of time called life.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Our first caller for today is Zainuddin from the UK.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sheikh Arthur?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. How can I help you?
Do you mind if I call and ask on Zat TV, or do you have a problem with it?
There's no problem, akhi. Be my guest anytime.
Okay. Sheikh, this is regarding something that happened to me personally with one of those so-called quote-unquote Muslims. So I was going to a car, and I did my best, but I was going to a car, and in the car, the Muslim driver, he was having music in his car. So I told him, ya akhi, please turn the music off. And I told him that this is not permissible. And he said that, why is this? No. I told him the verses of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, no, this is not, this is Sahih Bukhari. We cannot trust the hadith. And Imam Malik used to play musical instruments. So why is it not permissible? And so many other things. And so I just wanted to ask you, did I do something wrong? And does his statement have any basis whatsoever? Because I know I have the Quran and the Sunnah. So
I will answer you, inshallah, Zainuddin. Yamin from Bangladesh. Yamin.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. How can I help you?
Okay, so my question to you is this, that it is regarding bath that we do in our daily life. So there are various methods, like we take showers, we use buckets from which we take the water out of it and bath every day. So when we do bath using buckets, there is a thing that when we pour down the water onto our body, the water sprinkles and spreads onto everywhere around the bathroom. And it even it falls into the container or the bucket.
Okay, got your question, Yamin. I will answer, inshallah. Muhammad from America.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh, my question is, as we know, like in the Ramadan, the jinns, the shaitans are being chained during that period of month. So we wanted to know, like, what kind of jinn or shaitan is the worst one, or what kind of them are chained.
Okay.
And I had one question one day. Like,
No. I'll answer your question. I can't take two questions. I apologize, but we have so many callers waiting. Zaman from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu rahmatullah.
How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How can I help you, akhi?
Sir, today afternoon I went to take a bath, but unfortunately I felt burning sensation in my penis. Later, some jelly-like substance came out without any sexual desire, none or anything, but it was even thicker than semen. Lastly, a drop less blood type substance came out. Will my fasting and purity be valid? I took a quick ritual bath because I had doubt that it, I became junub.
Okay, I will answer you, inshallah. Kamil from Saudi.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Shantullah.
I may to understand some impurities are forgiven due to its nature and its hardship to avoid them. So what is the ruling for the earth traveler who enters the toilet in the airport after urinate and defecating? He opened the faucet and the water comes out very strongly, and this impurity splashed to his body and his clothes. Is it this considered impurity are forgiven?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. And we have Taymour from the UK. Taymour? Rashid from Tunisia. Rashid.
Alaykum, Sheikh. When you miss Asr, your deeds of worship are void. So if you miss Asr today, is your fasting invalid? Thank you. Jazakallah khair.
Wa jazakum. And we have Abdullah from Spain.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Every month I take an injection, meaning that it just...
Your line is breaking, Abdullah. I cannot hear you. You take every month an injection?
Yes.
Okay.
Gent that causes me the E, but it also...
No, I cannot hear you. Rafi from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Samtullah.
Is saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enough to give salutation upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Fridays? Or should we recite entire Durud-e Ibrahim, which we recite in our Salah?
Okay, I will answer you. Wajazak, akhi. Sad man from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Samtullah.
Shaykh, my question is it prohibited to sit, talk, and keep a good connection with Ahlul Bidah? How should we treat with the people of Ahlul Bidah? Can I read their books and listen to them? Can I publicize their good things?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. And we have Saifuddin from China.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Samtullah.
I want to ask, can we use the brush made from boar's hair, from like pig's hair, the kind of brush to on our hair? Can we use it for some when we want to pray, or can we even use it? Is it halal?
Okay, I will answer you, inshallah. And I think we may need to stop after Abdul Mujib from Nigeria. Oh, Ismail from Afghanistan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Shaykh, I have a little long question. Can I ask?
No, make it as short as possible. We don't have time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will say it shortly. I have the problem of waswasa, the illness of waswasa, and it's been 3 years. And I have been learning about the sunnah, that how to cure this illness. And my question is, there is two hadiths, and I want to ask you, that does this two hadiths connect with each other? The first one is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah has forgiven my ummah from what what comes to their minds, except act upon it or
speak
about it. And there is another hadith. The first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari is innama al-a'malu binniyat. And my question is, does doing something, when I want to do something, a waswasa come regarding to my...
I got your question, Ismail. I'll answer, inshallah. Abdul Majid from Nigeria.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Samtullah.
Now, one of the ways to have impact on the society or to contribute to society is being involved in politics. But with the kind of political structure in place in my country, being in politics means you have to do some around things like lying, taking or giving bribes, being deceitful and manipulative. So, without these things, one would get nowhere in politics in my country. So, as a Muslim, what should we do?
Okay. I will answer you, inshallah. So, Zain al-Din from the UK, he got into a vehicle, and the driver, who is a Muslim, was playing music. So, he gave him advice and explained to him the verses of the Quran and the hadiths. And the guy simply did not listen, did not comply. So he's asking, had I done anything wrong? The answer is no. You did not do anything wrong. You did what Allah told you to do, and that is to forbid evil and to advise people. However, we have to be aware that your fingers are not the same length. So not everyone who's called Muslim is a practicing Muslim. There are Muslims who are deviant. There are Muslims who are sinful. There are Muslims who are negligent. There are Muslims who are arrogant, would not accept anything coming from someone your age or someone who they think less of. So you did your duty, and you should not expect praise or appreciation other from Allah Azza wa Jal. Because whenever you start to react negatively when someone does not listen to your preaching, this means that you're not doing the preaching for the sake of Allah, rather you're doing it for the sake of yourself or for fame, and this is dangerous. Yaman from Bangladesh, he says, when we are performing ghusl from a bucket of water, most of the times when we pour water on our bodies, a lot of the water deflects and falls back into the bucket. Does this impact the purity of the water? The answer is no. The water is still pure, and the water used in washing your limbs is still pure. There is no apparent najasa. There is no feces or urine that you are washing off and it's going back to the bucket. You are performing ghusl, which is a ritual impurity, not something that is physical. It's a ritual thing. So there is nothing wrong in what goes back to your water, unless najasa is 100% falling into it and changing the characteristics of the water. Muhammad says, the jinn are chained in Ramadan. The hadith says, the masters of the jinn and the devils are chained. And the hadith explains that and elaborates by saying, so that they cannot reach what they used to reach before Ramadan. So it refers to weakening their ability and lessening, making it less, their outreach. Not that they are totally not active or unable to lure people and deviate them. No, the small ones, the soldiers, the low ranking are still on the loose. Zaman from Bangladesh, he was performing ghusl and he felt a burning sensation and something came out. Akhi, if what came out was due to your doing and your actual acts, and you ejaculated semen, then your fasting is invalid because you have done one of the things that nullifies fasting. But if it came out without your wanting it to, you did not do anything. It just came out by itself in an ejaculating fashion, in a gushing fashion, your fast is valid. If it did not come in a gushing fashion, it was not ejaculated, it just came like urine comes out, this does not impact your fasting. Kamel from Saudi Arabia, he says, we have a saying that minute amount of impurities of najasa is forgiven. And this is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and Ibn Uthaymeen. So when we go to the airport and we answer the call of nature, sometimes when we use the hand shower, it is set to maximum power. So without knowing, we just try to squeeze it and boom, we have this big splash of water. So would that fall under the category of negligible? The answer is, it can be. But it also need to be identified that there is an impurity. If all what you see is traces of water due to the outburst of the water from the hand shower, this is water. You have to be certain, you have to have proof, 100% certainty that this is a najasa. If you don't have, then the default is that it is not najis. Rashid from Tunisia, he says, the hadith of the Prophet, whoever misses Asr prayer, then all of his good deeds will be void. So he's saying that if I overslept Asr, do I lose my fasting? This is an issue of dispute. The most authentic opinion is that if you deliberately abandon Asr, this is in Allah's hand. It's not oversleeping. Oversleeping, you're not sinful. Intentionally, skipping Asr without any legitimate reason, this falls under the hadith and your good deeds will be void. The deeds of today, the deeds of my lifetime, the deeds all over, this is in Allah's hands, as Ibn Taymiyyah says. We should not go into details. What should I do with the fasting? You have to continue fasting. Abdullah from Spain says every month he takes an injection, and the line was not clear. The injection, if it was nutrients, it gives you power, or it substitutes food, as in the case where it has glucose in it and it's taken through the veins, then such injection breaks your fasting. But if it is like insulin or under the skin injections or skins like Voltaren to reduce your temperature, but it doesn't nurture you, it doesn't give you any nutrients, in this case, it doesn't impact your fasting. Rafi from Bangladesh, is it sufficient to say Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad on Friday, or do we have to say the salutation of Ibrahim? No, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad is sufficient. Sad man from Bangladesh, can we speak to the people of innovation? The scholars have differed in this. Some took a very harsh way, and they said that you should not speak to the people of innovation, not pointing out the degree and levels of people of innovation. So people who do innovative adhkar or celebrate the Mawlid, their innovation is an innovation. But is it as big as innovation who delete Allah's beautiful names and attributes like Al-Jahmiyyah or like some of the Mu'tazila? Or is it like the innovation of Al-Khawarij, for example, who kill the Muslims and do heinous things and give takfir? No. So we have to be fair. We have to look at the degree of innovation, and we have to look at the consequence. Is there any benefit? Or when I speak to everybody, to be on good terms, not to go and eat with them or socialize with them or endorse them in my lectures or be with them in a seminar or a conference. No. But as a person, we are good with everybody. There's nothing wrong in that. We have to draw the limit, and the time is not sufficient to expand on this. Saifuddin from China. Can we use a brush used or made of boar hair, of pig's hair? It's an issue of dispute. Some scholars say that everything from pigs is haram. Others say that things that have no life in them, like the bones, like the hair, like the teeth, they can be used. I personally believe that using anything that is from pigs is not permissible, because the alternatives are so many and there is no need to go specifically to that product. Yes, if it's for heart valves, for example, some doctors say that there is no other equivalent to the quality of heart valves except that taken from pigs. Yeah, for necessity, yes, but for a brush, no, this is not a necessity. Ismail from Afghanistan says that the hadith, Allah has forgiven my ummah for my sake, for whatever they think about or crosses their mind, as long as they don't talk or act upon it, versus deeds are judged by intentions. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. There is no collaboration. These are two different things. Deeds are judged by intentions when you're actually doing it. But if it crosses your mind and you don't do it and you don't speak about it, this is forgiven. Abdul Majid is saying, what about politics and what comes with the package, such as bribing, lying, cheating? Akhi, a Muslim works primarily to save himself. Who cares if everybody else on earth goes to hell as long as I go to paradise? I don't care. But if everybody goes to paradise walking on my back on the edge of hellfire, taking me as a bridge, and at the end of the day, I'm going to fall into hell. No, this is not the right thing to do. Save yourself. When you're drowning, you don't care about others. You just want to grab on to anything that saves you. Going into politics, if it means that you're going to compromise your religion, that you are going to do heinous things, major things that are prohibited in Islam, no. Save your skin and run. This is all the time we have. Until we meet tomorrow, same time, I leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.